3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and you know, we're going to have some pop-up showers and thunderstorms as we get closer to nightfall. Peter Navarro is going to be with us at 3:33, one of the first interviews that he will be granting after his release from federal prison. You know, he spent years as the principal advisor, especially in economic issues, to President Trump. And if memory serves, was it Congress? Was it one of the circuses, one of the sideshow committees there, the sham trial sort of things that the Democrats were doing? I think that's what it was. And he said, yeah, I'm not going. And, well, long story short, he wound up in federal prison. I don't know how that impacts potential service, but we're going to chat with him at 3:33. I'm looking forward to that. It is Tuesday, and that means that my buddy Craig Peterson is going to be with us. So we'll talk a little bit about tech. We got Brad Thor coming up later this week, and I just got a note. We're locking it in as we speak. Jeremy, as per usual, is working diligently to get it all locked in. But Bill O'Reilly will be back with us in the not-too-distant future. Okay? So there you have it. All right, well, my work here is done, Jerm. I'm going to head home. Oh, right, never mind. All right, we got it. Yes, we've got one or two other things we should probably talk about. How about our not-ready-for-primetime Vice President, Kamala Harris, man? She is making the rounds everywhere. And, of course, the media loves her. Why? Because they've been told to love her. But they seem to be ignoring all of these reports about what a miserable human being she is. Let that sink in for just a second. She's not a nice person. In fact, she is known to be an absolute awful human being and a terrible person for whom to work. Let me just share one of the items here. 90% of her staff has quit on her throughout the years. How do I know that? Because there are people who analyze that sort of stuff. I find it amazing. I really do. I find it amazing. 90% of people who worked for Kamala Harris when she was the district attorney in San Francisco, 90% of the people who worked for her while she was a senator from California for a couple of seconds, and now that she had served as vice president for less than 4 years, 90% of her staff has said, no, I'm out of here. I quit. That is an unbelievable turnover. It is huge. Here's just one little anecdote. And before you say, well, Jeff, these are conservatives. These are Republicans. They don't like her. Or she's a woman. They hate women. She's black. They're racist. Well, I don't think any of those things are true. Here's a little note. It is a very well-connected, big time, Northern California Democrat family. Their kid, Gregory, was appointed as an intern in her office. He only served in that post for 1 month, and he went over after to go work for Dianne Feinstein for the rest of the summer, who, according to the report, was absolutely a delight. So here's a couple of things. Four tiny little pieces that come from Gregory's 1 month internship experience. Kamala Harris throws around F-bombs and other profanity constantly while she is berating her staff and others. Her staff is in complete fear of her. And again, she uses profanity throughout the day. All right. I like profanity. Now, I know I don't know. I don't use it here, and I don't use it in polite company. But do you remember A Christmas Story? And the little kid who licks the flagpole and his tongue sticks to it. You remember all that, right? And you'll put an eye out and yada, 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 Red Ryder BB gun. And you remember he talks about his father, and he talks about his father working in profanity like other artists work with watercolors. And I thought, well, yes, I love that. Properly deployed, profanity is an amazing tool. And it is a second language. And some people are proficient in it, and some are not. Now, I grew up in the city of Philadelphia, and I worked as a police officer in some of the worst neighborhoods in the city of Philadelphia. Guess what? Drunken sailors look at me and go, dude, you got to dial it back. It was a second language. Heidi, my beloved bride, grew up in what can only be described as the Cape Cod version of Mayberry. You know, the doors were never locked. There were pies on the windowsill. It was amazing where she grew up. Yeah. So she can't cuss to save her life. And there have been one or two occasions where she has tried. And I have been there and I have simply wound up laughing hysterically. And that's not a good thing to do when your wife is really upset and just trying her best to. And by the way, it wasn't directed at me. Shh, no, that's okay. It wasn't directed at me. It was directed at other people. All right. Anyway, so let me go on. As Attorney General Kamala Harris instructed her entire staff to stand up every morning when she entered the office and say, "Good morning, General." Oh, wow. We got to ask Jason Meares. Or, you know what? Better than that, I won't ask Jason. I'll ask the people who work for Jason if Jason Meares mandates that everybody stand up when he enters the office first thing in the morning and say, "Good morning, General." Okay. Never once during the month-long internship did Kamala Harris introduce herself to our son. He was in an office with 20 paid employees. All right, well, you know what? This is going to shock you. Well, I'm going to take her side on this one. You're the Attorney General or you're a United States Senator. You got 20 people working in your office. You have an intern. Yeah, the polite thing would be to introduce yourself. That would be the really, really, really nice, polite thing. But if you are a sitting U.S. Senator or you are the Attorney General of a state, It might not come up on the radar. No, you know what? I can't overly falter for that. But here's the piece of this that bugs me a lot. The other staff members were too intimidated by her to introduce him. That stinks. And the only acknowledgement that he got was a form letter of thanks signed by Harris given to him on his last day of service. Oh, guess what? He was also instructed to never address Kamala Harris, nor look her directly in the eye, as that privilege was only allowed to senior staff members. Oh, give me a freaking break. I hate crap like that. And I will tell you, through the years, in talk radio in particular, I've dealt with pinheads like that. Some of them are folks that you might like, and so, yeah. Well, I'll share this story with you from San Francisco, when I was on the air out in San Francisco. And we had a guy who worked there, Michael Savage. All right, you know Michael Savage. Michael Wiener is his real name. All right, so he was very, very successful. He's a brilliant guy, by the way. Really is. Brilliant, very, very good on-air personality. He was very, very successful, and he came over to our radio station. Now, he believed that we had a studio in that building that only he was allowed to use. Now, that was not true. We had a little sign with Velcro that we would stick on the door whenever we heard that he was coming. We put it up there, reserved exclusively for Michael Savage. And he really believed that. But he also had given directions that people, just like this, people were not to talk to him directly. They were never to initiate the conversation with him. And they were not supposed to wear cologne or perfume because he had a very sensitive sense of smell. I like good quality cologne. You know, I'm not slapping on crap. So I'm not giving that up. So I just tell you that right now. I saw that and went, yeah, that's not going to happen. And then when I had heard from others, oh, you know, you can't talk to him. I said, well, why not? We're on the same station. No, you can't actually initiate a conversation. If he talks to you first, it's okay. I was like, you are out of your ever-loving mind. So, where am I? I'm in the men's room. Except he's in there first. So he's standing at a, And so I went over and did what I had to do and turned right to him and said, yo, Mike, how's it hanging? And he was appalled. Oh, my God. And he ran and he complained. It's like, oh, please, give me a freaking break. I just hate stuff like that. But I believe it. I've seen it far too many times throughout my life. And I know that some of these people have terrible, terrible attitudes. You know what's interesting? It doesn't have to do with your party. I know there are going to be people thinking, well, you know, leftists do this and Republicans. No, unfortunately, they're jerks across the board. That's the sad reality. And I have to admit, that Harry, who, as you may know, I think I've shared this with you. I mean, he is he's firmly ensconced in the camp of the bad guys, as far as I'm concerned. But he has worked for a number of people in posts who have been absolutely wonderful to him. And he was one of the few high school students ever selected to be a congressional intern. Congressional interns ordinarily are strictly from the ranks of college students. But Harry impressed Congressman Dave Brat and Congressman Dave Brat's team. And so Harry spent a summer as an intern for Dave Brat. Learned a lot. Learned a lot. Now, Harry, unfortunately, is ideologically speaking on the wrong side. But, you know, he's young. And he's got some good folks that he's working with. Now, I don't agree with anything they do, but they treat him very nicely. So I just want you to be aware of that. This is not a Democrat or Republican thing, a liberal or conservative thing. You just got to remember, there are jerks in every single segment of everything. But a 90% turnover in any employment operation just strikes me as very, it's very high. I'm going to, you know what's funny? I have a couple of folks, I'm not going to mention them on the air, but I have a couple of folks I know who are big time HR poobahs. And I'll bet you they could shed some light on that. I'm going to ask them, and I promise, I won't name anybody, but I'm just going to ask if a 90% turnover in a staff situation is something that should raise a red flag. To me, it does. And to me, it says a lot about Kamala Harris, and it just reminds me that she's not ready for the Oval Office. Now, she shouldn't get any closer to that Oval Office than a guided tour, as far as I'm concerned. Peter Navarro is going to join us at 3:33, fresh, yep, from federal prison. You heard me right. And back to advising, I believe, President Trump. I'd like to see him back in the White House, both of them, frankly. Oh, and my friend John Reed was back this morning. I tuned in. Now, you know, with Julia's summer school program is over. And I don't get up early unless I have to. That's what I've decided. I used to be a very, very, very early morning sort of person. And now it's like, I don't have to do that. So I don't. But I did hear John for the bulk of the morning. And it was great to hear him back and hear some of the stories about where he's been and what he's doing. And if you missed him this morning because you thought, oh, he's probably on the road again. No, he is back. So make sure tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. you are tuned in to listen to John. It is 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Quick reminder about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You are welcome to text anytime, every time, all the time. We'll get to it. And I'll try and share them on the air. Some good comments have come in, and I really do thank Dr. Brian Snyder and Janine, the whole team over there at Chronic Care of Richmond. You know they're great people. I happen to be a patient at Chronic Care of Richmond. I love them, think the world of them, but I really do thank them for sponsoring our text line, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Robert sends a note on Facebook. He says, Jeff, when it comes to cursing, Mark Twain once told his wife that she had the words correct, but her tempo was off. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, if you are engaged in delivering profanity and obscenity in the right way, there is a certain tempo. There's a beat to it. It's like sleet on your roof. I'll go back. I love Mark Twain. I don't recall that one, but that does sound like him. Mike in Bottoms Bridge to say, Jeff, what do you think about the Biden-Harris regime slow walking the congressionally approved arms for Israel? No MK-84, 2,000 bombs, tank artillery shells, F-16s, as well as F-35s, and the precision-guided missiles. Well, Mike, here's the deal, as our presidential meat puppet would say. They don't like the Israelis. They don't like Israel. And it's becoming clearer and clearer and clearer to me that they would be very, very happy with Israel being destroyed. There, I've said it. I think that the Biden-Harris regime has been stuffed to the gills with anti-Semites. And I think we're seeing it now play out. Kamala Harris takes the side of Hamas. It's just that simple. And I cannot imagine anybody looking at this and go, well, you know, there's some contracts, some subtext, some cut. There's nothing. You either stand with Israel or you're standing with evil. There is no middle ground on this. It is one of the reasons that I said yes to the opportunity to go on this mission trip to Israel. I've never been to Israel. Heidi's been to Israel. Harry's been to Israel. Joe's been to Israel. I'm the one in the family that has not been to Israel. Julia, you know, is not going to go, and you understand Julia's situation. But of the rest of us, I've never been. I've never been. And Heidi Gottlover has said that our next move is either going to be to Tampa or Tel Aviv. That's it. There's nothing else on the table. It's like, all right, I mean, I love Tampa. I can go there in a second. But Tel Aviv, you love Tel Aviv. It's great. So I haven't been, and I got invited to go. It's very short notice, and I'm trying to pull everything together. And I'm just sharing with you that I set up, because people ask me, they say, Jeff, when people go on mission trips, and I've never been on a mission trip, so I don't know anything about it except, yes, these are the dates, and you got to go online and make some arrangements. And okay. But so many people reached out and said, Jeff, when people go on mission trips, they always ask people to support them because it makes other people feel good. And I thought, well, okay, I'm happy to do that. So I set up the, a Give, Send, Go. Give, Send, Go is like the religious version of GoFundMe. So if you want to do it, I put the links up. I'm not going to give them out here. I don't feel right about that. But I do have them up on my social media platforms. If you want to go to Facebook and look for The Jeff Katz Show, you'll see it there. If you're following me on X, Jeff Katz Show, you'll see it over there. And if you're inclined to donate, fantastic. I appreciate it. And if you're not, also perfectly okay. But I did do that because so many people said that is part of doing this and people like to be involved. Peter Navarro, fresh from federal prison and hopefully headed back to the White House, joins us at 3:33. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and I will tell you, one of the most fascinating people who has ever been on this program throughout the years, Peter Navarro, is joining us again today. And, of course, he was unavailable for a period of time. It's absolutely outrageous spending time in a federal prison because, well, I'm going to let him tell the story because I'm just blown away that it happened. Peter, it is so wonderful to have you back out here where you belong. Thanks for being here.
You know, it's nice to have a little bit of freedom for a change for your listeners. I was put in prison by about 400 Democrats.
Yeah.
They were the Democrats in the House of Representatives. They were the Democrats in the Attorney General's office at the Department of Injustice. And then I had a couple of Democrat-appointed judges. I think, I don't know if you saw my speech at the Republican National Convention.
I did.
But what I said was I went to prison so you wouldn't have to. And my situation is simply a situation that proves that the Democrat Party, as opposed to the Democrat rank and file, the Democrat Party mm-hmm. are putting Trump people and trying to put Trump in prison simply for partisan ends. And so I'm out. My yep. mission now, Jeff, is I've got this new book out. It's called The New MAGA Deal. The subtitle's kind of cool. It's the guide, the Deplorable's Guide to the Trump 2024 Platform, an official guide.
Yep.
It's Don Jr.'s publishing house. And it's a you can get it on Amazon, New MAGA Deal, or go to newmagadeal.com. And what's important about the book, and I've left prison behind, I'm focused on the election in November,
right,
is that it shows you a couple of things. One is 100 actions in 100 days by President Trump that deal with our economy and inflation, border security, foreign policy, the weaponization of our justice system, law and order, and a lot of these woke issues, such as men participating in women's sports and stuff like that. But the thing that's really, I think, most important to me, lesson I learned after the 2022 election, was that we in MAGA really have to defend ourselves against these ludicrous charges of extremism.
Right.
It frosts me that the Democrats, who are the most extremist that we've had in power in decades, are pointing their finger at us and saying MAGA's not mainstream. We are mainstream, Main Street, we are America. And what I do in the new MAGA Deal book is explain how MAGA is simply three things. It's a strong manufacturing base onshore here in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secure border, and it's an end to the endless wars. If you think about how Donald Trump first got elected in 2016, those were the three MAGA principles that differentiated him from the traditional Wall Street Republicans.
That's right.
And so that's my mission. I'm out talking to good folks like you and hoping people will get the book, New MAGA Deal, at newmagadeal.com or Amazon, simply not to sell books, but to have a weapon in their hands to help Trump get back behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office and begin making us safe, secure, and prosperous again.
It's exactly what we need to do. Let me remind everybody, Dr. Peter Navarro is joining us, served as an advisor to President Trump for quite a long time. You were the last one, I believe, in the White House at the end of that term. You've been there from the beginning as well. Let's talk about President Trump's next 100 days, right? We've got to get through this. There are many of us who are unbelievably energized about President Trump, but we're also remembering that Donald Trump is not just running against the Democrats' latest selection, Kamala Harris, and whoever's going to be with her, but Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are running against every single member of the legacy news media.
I'm glad you said that. It's not just CNN, MSNBC, the New York Times, and the Washington Post. People need to understand that ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS are even more dangerous just because they're a little bit more subtle about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this new drinking game I propose, which is to say that every time you hear Kamala Harris is a prosecutor and Donald Trump is a convicted felon as a Democrat talking point coming from the mouths of one of these media shills, you take a shot of Gavin Newsom's finest wine, and by election day, I'm sure you will be probably 10 sheets to the wind, as they say.
Yeah, that's a dangerous drinking game, my friend. I mean, I don't mind a good drinking game.
The nation will be drunk, and hopefully the wokes will forget to vote, and, it's going to be tough. I mean, the thing about it is, this overconfidence we got when Biden was the nominee and stuff like that, we shouldn't have even been overconfident then, because it's an election that boils down to five or six states. It's Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, maybe Nevada, maybe North Carolina. We got to hang on to that, not let them flip it. And the election will be decided probably by 500,000 votes across those states. So, we need to hunker down. We need to do everything smart and right and strategic.
Yes.
And that's what I try to think about and do, looking in the future and seeing that what we need to do is we need to fight the election on policy grounds. Okay.
Right.
We beat them on policy grounds. If you look at, well, what do they got? They're going to do the abortion, abortion, abortion. That's their thing.
That's right.
Even though it's a states' rights issue now, yep, and not a federal issue.
That's right.
And they're going to do Orange Man bad. That's it. That's all they got. What do we got? We've got the economy, border security, foreign policy, law and order.
Yeah.
The woke issues and this weaponization of the justice system. I think we win on that.
Those are all winning issues. And let me remind everybody, they need to get a copy. It's called The New MAGA Deal, The Unofficial Deplorables Guide to Donald Trump's 2024 Policy Platform. There's a website. We're going to give that again. It's also on Amazon. It is available. Peter, here's the problem that I think people have. Number one, you are absolutely correct. Many of the folks on our side, I have found them to be unbelievably overconfident. And the Democrats may be terrible people in this case, but they're not stupid, and they know how to run, and they also know that any criticism of Kamala Harris will be met with an allegation that you either hate women or you are a racist.
Yeah.
It's a tough race.
Yep. Running against a woman is different. I did it myself in 1992. I ran for mayor in the city of San Diego, which was like the seventh largest city in the country at the time.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of going on the attack at the end of that race, pointing simply out. I mean, it was kind of unbelievable. But the woman I was running against, her husband was a convicted money launderer,
oh,
right? And I happened to race that. and I lost some Democrat women who thought I was picking on her and who thought that she knew nothing about the damn thing when she knew everything about it.
Yeah.
But my point is that it's very different running against a woman. Look, what's got to happen, I think we did it well during the convention. We had a lot of women giving testimonials.
Yes.
For the president, for J.D.
Yep.
Vance. I think we need more of that out there. And I think, Kamala, it's fair game to go after her on the border, for example. I mean, if you think about the only thing she was ever given of significance in 4 years. She
yep.
One thing. Biden gave her one thing.
That's right.
That's it. It was the border.
And
she went down
Peter,
to the Rio Grande, stuck her nose up in the air, smelled that stench coming over the Rio Grande, turned tail and run. 8 million illegal aliens followed her in to rape, murder, deal drugs, traffic humans, Islamic terrorists, Chinese spies, and a whole flood of black, brown, and blue-collar Americans losing their jobs to illiterate illegal aliens. I mean, we need to make a big deal out of that kind of stuff. But it's got to be done.
You see as well, Peter, I don't mean to cut you off, but you see as well already that the news media and the big tech people have gone back. They're rewriting their own stories. They're scrubbing audio and video of Donald, of Joe Biden saying she's in charge of the border. I mean, I personally have never seen this. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, this corporate media, they ought to be behind bars for interfering with the election. It's grossly that they do it. But again, what we have is conservative media. It's growing.
Yep.
I wrote the new MAGA deal to get the message out of here's the Trump platform. Here's what MAGA represents. I think these are the two messages that win us the race.
Right.
And we just got to do what we do. I mean, this latest thing where they're trying to change the Supreme Court and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, that's just a way of bringing the whole campaign back to abortion. That's all that is.
Okay.
You know, they're smart.
Yep.
They're really bad at governing. They're really stupid at governing, but they're smart at campaigning.
They are.
We've got to give that devil that due. And we got to be smarter. We can't fall into their traps. I mean, I was like aghast when the Fox News anchors were asking Biden to resign and let Harris be president. I mean, that's like stupid. It's like you don't give her that platform.
No.
Come on, how stupid are you people? So we got to be smarter.
The ear, these days of President Trump? Because you're talking about all these things.
I never talk about that. It's like, just from 2016 on, I never talk about what the president and I may or may not talk about.
Right.
All I can say is he's been very good to me, very supportive of every, you know, one of my legal issues. And as you saw, I was on the stage of the RNC, and that doesn't happen without his approval.
Right.
But what we talk about or don't talk about, nobody's business but ours.
Oh, no, no, I didn't mean it that way.
And I went to prison defending that, by the way.
No, absolutely. No. But what I'm saying is...
You ain't getting nothing out of me.
No, please. I'm not looking for stuff like that. You know that.
I'm messing with you.
I know you are. But, you know, I want to be sure that there are great people like Peter Navarro back in the White House. I want to make sure that President Trump is there, that J.D. Vance becomes the vice president.
All I want to do is make sure we win first. So let's focus on that. NewMAGADeal.com is the book on Amazon as well. But check it out. I mean, it's like... We need, when we talk about this administration and all of this, we need to be really sophisticated about what the policy options are and how we beat them.
I mean, you
talk to people out there. I need everybody listening right now, not just to vote and vote before Election Day. I need everybody out there to be able to go out and be essentially a proselytizer for President Trump, and it needs to roll off your tongue. It's like we beat him on the economy, border security, foreign policy, law and order, weaponization of government, and woke. That's six things we beat him on.
Absolutely.
And MAGA is simply a strong manufacturing base, border security, and an end to endless wars. If you get that, you can do that in 30 seconds.
Yeah,
and everybody needs to go out and be able to talk about Trump's America. I mean, everybody, look, in Trump's America, you didn't have to choose between food on the table, medicine in the cabinet, and the roof over your head. You just didn't.
Well, Peter, I'll tell you what, you are spot on as per usual. That's not a great surprise to anybody that's ever chatted with you. You are absolutely right. And these are the points that we can win on. These are the points we have to keep sharing. And I'm going to ask a favor of you. Would you be willing to come back over the next 100 days, especially as we're rolling towards Election Day?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Well, listen.
Absolutely. Tell me, I should know this, but your audience is, where are you located? Are you national or local?
We are the Commonwealth of Virginia. Everybody in Virginia is listening, my friends.
All right. Well, it's an interesting state. Is it purple now, or is it blue?
We're mixed up, but I would dare say that once the message gets out, I can absolutely see President Trump carrying this state and getting back in the White House where he belongs.
You got the blue bureaucrats across the way, trying to avoid the D.C. tax. Kind of ironic, you know. You got these liberals running to Virginia, so they pay less taxes, but then they're ready to raise everybody else's taxes.
Hypocrisy runs wild up there around the Potomac.
You got that. All right, my brother, we'll do it.
Thank you, my friend.
Call. You know who to call to get that done.
We do.
Let's see what happens.
Thank you, sir. That is Dr. Peter Navarro, and I will remind you, newmagadeal.com is the newest book. Newmagadeal.com is where you get it. And when you go there, I'm looking at one of the things that pops up. President Trump has a brand new book coming out on September the 3rd. It's called Save America. I would dare say while you're there, you probably want to pre-order that book as well. So newmagadeal.com, that's the website, and you can go there to buy Peter's book. I think it's important, and you heard what he was talking about. These are the things that I've been trying to share. It is easy to say, well, you know, Kamala Harris is an idiot. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. But I will tell you that we beat every member of the left when it comes to actual issues. And if you want to win this, we've got to do that. All right. Again, I thank Dr. Peter Navarro. He will be back with us as we head closer and closer and closer to the election. It's Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.